You, your friendship with him, that has made the difference in him.
Davian chewed his lip, but nodded. He didn't know whether Tayris was right, but the concept made him feel a little better, at least. The older man didn't press further, and eventually they rejoined the others, Caden in the midst of explaining to Asha the intricacies of creating an Ilshara. Davian listened with interest, nodding along as Caden registered his presence and started making note of ways he might be able to help, to use Khan to protect the barrier against the draining effect of the Bane's armor. It was mostly going to be an exercise in concentration for Asha, though, and she wouldn't be able to falter for a single second, no matter how tired she became. He ignored the occasional worried glances from the others, ignored the steadily increasing sense of dread that grew in his stomach no matter how hard he tried to focus elsewhere. It felt all too soon when the distant roaring of Lantarsh began to press on his ears, and they found themselves climbing a short rise to one of the high ridges that overlooked Dylanis.
"Down," whispered Caden, dropping to the ground himself.
Davian and the others followed suit, lying flat against the long grass and crawling forward cautiously to peer over the steep drop to the familiar mists below. The thundering of Lantarsh was at once louder, more immediate, familiar. In other circumstances, Davian might even have found it comforting. Through the twisted foliage that blocked much of their view, Davian could see the long, smooth, railless white bridge that spanned the chasm, vanishing into the dense fog, only the vague outlines of buildings farther in indicating that it went anywhere. Or he could see parts of the bridge anyway. A large section of it was clogged by Banes. Davian's heart sank as he studied the mixture of Dargaethan and, from Asha and Caden's description of them, what he assumed must be Tekril. They were mostly still, only occasionally shifting, almost as if they were asleep. Clearly alert, though, as he watched a dozen more Dargaethan abruptly slithered out of the mists, and the waiting Banes turned as one toward them. Though he was too far away, Davian imagined that he could hear the heavy grinding of scales against stone. The new group said something to their counterparts standing guard at the near end of the bridge. Some split off, leaving to patrol west, while others headed toward Dylanis, vanishing swiftly into the murk. Davian grimaced. He didn't fear the Dargaethan as he once had, he'd been too long in Zavalar for that. But he still had a healthy respect for their strength and speed. His gaze traveled to the side, and he shivered as he watched the other black forms scuttling around. Tekril. The scorpion-like creatures were three times the size of Dargaethan, albeit without their intelligence or the completeness of their armor. Still undoubtedly dangerous, though, especially in the numbers he was seeing below.
"This is a problem," Caden observed, with dour understatement, the plain-looking torque around his neck glinting in the sunlight. "They're too close together. Even slowing time with Lycanius or making ourselves invisible, there's no way we can get through all of them unnoticed."
"I thought you said that the Banes would arrive with Shemeloth," Davian said pensively.
Caden nodded.
"I can't use gates, but Shemeloth is obviously not here, so these must be the remainder of those that made it through a year ago. They must have been hiding somewhere around here, waiting."
He glanced restlessly northward, though there was nothing to see.
"Which means that there will still be many more on the way. Shemeloth will be using them to carve a path for himself."
Davian acknowledged the statement bleakly. Caden had already explained that Shemeloth would be driving the Banes in front of him, using them to wipe out as much as possible between Talon Goland here, removing as much essence from his path as he could.
"Do you really think that he can get here so quickly if they have to destroy everything in their way?" asked Tayris.
"I've seen those creatures whipped into a frenzy. Believe me, we have less than a day."
Caden said the words with grim certainty.
"We need to have Ghassandra dead and an Ilshara up before then."
"We don't even know if he's here yet," observed Asha worriedly.
"He's here. The Banes wouldn't guard the city like this otherwise. He's using them to get advance warning of any attack."
He sucked in a breath, thinking.
"He'll be at the Javette.
He probably thinks I'm dead, but he knows that Davian and Asha have Lycanius. If he gets even a hint that there's danger, he'll vanish. He clenched his fist in frustration. He's cautious. He'll know straight away if Banes start dying. Davian hesitated, glancing at Caden. I could shapeshift. Go in by myself.
No.
Caden clearly knew immediately what Davian was referring to, but shook his head. That gets you in, but not Lycanius. Even the Banes would recognize that it's not a normal sword. Davian nodded slowly, vaguely relieved, then waved away the curious looks of the other three.
Another time, he said dryly. That's all right. I know how we can all get in anyway.
Asha said the words confidently as she peered down at the mists. Davian and Caden both glanced at her in surprise.
How? Asked Caden, dubiousness in his tone.
Davian understood his doubt. Caden knew Dylanus better than anyone. Asha smiled slightly.
It's not the easiest way, she conceded.
She gestured to the west, away from the masses of Banes on the bridge, down toward the chasm containing Lantarsh.
Follow me.
The five of them stood at the edge of the chasm, gazing down at the thundering white water hundreds of feet below.
No,
said Weir, his eyes wide as he gazed into the churning mass.
Fates, no.
It'll be fine, said Davian, mostly to cover his own nervousness.
Trust us, added Asha.
Nothing to worry about, chimed in Caden.
They were a mile or so away from the northern bridge, their position concealed by boulders and thick scrub. Banes patrolled the area, but their movements seemed to be regular, predictable enough. They had a few minutes before being spotted. Weir glowered.
Easy for you lot to say, he grumbled.
Caden glanced across at him.
We'll make sure you're safe.
We're all painfully aware that you're the weakest one here.
It's a little awkward, concurred Asha.
Lucky you're a prince, really, continued Davian absently, peering over the edge into the raging white water.
You wouldn't have a whole lot going for you if you didn't have... All right, growled Weir.
Davian shared a grin with Asha, for the briefest of moments the banter making him feel like they were all back in Kaladel.
Tekra will be coming this way soon, said Caden, reluctantly interrupting. If we're doing this, we need to go now.
Off to the side, Tavris shuffled his feet and peered with some discomfort into the churning depths. He hadn't said anything, but he clearly wasn't enamored of what they were about to do, either. Davian looked at Asha seriously.
Ash, you're sure that you can handle us all?
Asha shrugged.
I guess we'll find out.
Davian glowered at her, and Asha shot an innocent smile back at him before glancing around.
Everyone ready?
The others nodded reluctantly, and Davian was about to as well when the sky to the north caught his eye.
What is that? He asked, pointing.
The clean light of morning continued to shine down in their position by the chasm, but the northern sky to the right of Dylanus was fading. Not the black of an oncoming storm, but more like the light was bleeding from the entire world. Shadows snaked across the sky, tendrils of smoke-like darkness, shading out the blue, leaching it of its color and luminescence. Davian's heart stopped as he recognized the sight, albeit on far greater a scale than he had ever seen it before. It was the same shadowy black smoke that appeared whenever he saw someone lie.
It's him. We have hours, if that, confirmed Caden heavily.
He motioned to the others.
Time to go.
Tavris sidled over to Asha, looking at her worriedly.
You're completely certain about this?
Asha rolled her eyes and shoved him over the edge. Tavris's shout of alarm never eventuated as Asha's tendril of essence snaked out, catching him before he dropped and covering his mouth, then spinning him to face the rest of them. The scarred man glared at her with a mixture of fury and terror, eyes bulging as he hung in midair. Asha shrugged at the other's looks, lines of essence flashing out and wrapping around each of them. Davian felt his feet lift slightly off the ground. Asha took two steps back, then sprinted at the edge of the chasm and leaped. Davian's stomach lurched as the feeling of hurtling downward took hold. He swallowed a scream and gritted his teeth, concentrating on staying the right way up and getting ready to activate his healing vessel. The white, churning mist of Lantarsh rushed up to meet him more quickly than he could have anticipated. There was a flash of white, and then, suddenly, he was floating gently downward. He gasped as he hit icy cold water, the energy that had held him up finally vanishing. He felt his skin going numb as he flailed, the freezing water buffeting him. He was sucked under, and for several seconds lost his sense of direction, a seed of panic growing as he quickly flooded his body with essence of his own, allowing him to fight the powerful current. Finally, his head broke the surface and he struggled toward a low-sitting cave, recognizing that it was where Asha had intended them to go. He hauled himself up out of the water, accepting Tayrus's helping hand to drag himself the last small part of the way.
"We all here?" he gasped, shivering.
Asha and Caden, much to his irritation, looked barely fazed by the fall. Weir was already dry, grinning at him.
"Not a word," muttered Davian as Asha used essence to dry his clothes, heating his body rapidly back to an acceptable temperature.
They soon set off into the narrow network of openings that stretched deeper beneath Dailanus, following Asha. Caden murmured in appreciation as he studied the design of the tunnels. From his idle, out-loud observations, he seemed to think that it was some sort of heat dissipation mechanism, though from the way he talked, it was also a design that he hadn't encountered before. Before long, they began climbing a stairwell that had been carved into the bedrock, and soon after that, Davian found himself wiping beads of sweat from his brow. It was getting hotter. The stairs finally flattened out, emerging onto a smooth stone platform. He stuttered to a halt, gazing in wonder. Glistening black diamond-shaped vessels of stone swirled around a column of essence that split the center of the massive sphere, yellow-white energy crackling and snapping between them, the glowing pillar and the walls. Davian squinted against the blinding light, turning away slightly but unable to stop watching. It was mesmerizing.
"So this is a serrarium?"
he wondered aloud, raising his voice above the noise. He flinched as a bolt of jagged energy crashed toward them, only to be blocked by some sort of invisible shield. Caden was standing closest to the edge of the platform, arms crossed, studying the scene.
"It was a serrarium," he replied. "This is a shell. Almost empty."
Davian stared at Caden in disbelief, then turned his gaze back to the insides of the sphere, reassessing. He couldn't begin to conceive of what it must have been like when it was full. Asha beckoned them toward a second set of stairs, looking less impressed than the others, and they moved on, climbing higher, the heat of the serrarium gradually fading. They were mostly silent now, every step laden with a steadily increasing tension. They all knew what waited for them once they reached the top. Davian's pulse quickened as the stairs narrowed out into a long passageway, a single stone door set into its end. Caden grunted as they approached it, staring with a vexed expression.
"I'll take it. I searched for months and had no idea that this was here," he said ruefully, keeping his voice low. "It must be concealed even from Khan. I knew roughly where the serrarium was hidden, but if I'd known that there was such easy access..."
He shrugged with a sigh.
"It probably wouldn't have made a difference."
There was a pause, a moment of silence, as Caden rested his hand against the door. The red-headed man turned to the others.
"Once we go through here, there is no turning back," he said seriously. "If Cassandra escapes, we lose. If we don't kill him, we lose. If we don't raise a new Ilshara before Shemaloth gets here, we lose."
"Huzzah," murmured Weir.
Caden gave him a wry grin.
"Not my best motivational speech," he admitted, "but this is it. If there's anything you want to say to each other, now is the time."
He looked at Davian, his meaning clear. Davian's heart pounded, the fear he had been holding at bay for so long momentarily threatening to overcome him. The Javette and the Rift lay just beyond. A hand clasped his, and he turned to see Asha looking up at him, her eyes shining.
"I love you,"
she whispered, pulling his head down to lean his forehead against hers.
"And I'm not ready to lose you, so don't you dare leave me in there."
Davian gave her a soft smile, bludgeoning his panic into receding once again. He had to put on a brave face for the sake of his friends, if nothing else.
"I love you too, Ash."
He took a shaky breath, then held her by her shoulders and gazed into her eyes seriously.
"And I will never be ready to lose you either. But we both know it's coming. If it's now..."
He cupped her cheek in his hand.
"Just know that I have no regrets. Not when it comes to you."
Asha kissed him then, and he could taste tears. He didn't know whether they were hers or his. They finally broke apart, and then Weir was embracing him.
"Be careful in there, Dav,"
he said, thumping him on the back harder than usual. Davian thought he saw him swallow a lump in his throat.
"You too,"
said Davian roughly, giving his friend the ghost of a grin, then acknowledging Tayris too as the scarred man clapped him awkwardly on the shoulder, unable to keep the melancholy from his scarred features. Mustering a semblance of calm, he turned. Caden had been watching the farewells. They were farewells, no matter what the others pretended. Silently, an inscrutable look on his face.
"Hell with us," he eventually said grimly, giving Davian a meaningful nod. He drew Lycanius and opened the door.
The last time Davian had been in the Jabet, the massive chamber had been dark and empty and silent, only a single beam of light illuminating a space at the very center that held an altar-like table. Now that space was a whirlwind of twisted light and shrieking chaos. Davian came to a stuttering, jarring halt as he tried to take it in. Each of the columns in the massive room burned with almost imperceptibly thin lines of essence, though some of them still had parts that remained dark. Men and women worked feverishly on those sections, and after a few seconds Davian recognized them as Cassandra's proxies, spotting several from their last meeting. They were entirely focused, no one noticing the newcomers. Lines stretched between the pillars, too, though these were smudged, like white flames being sucked toward the nightmare at the center of the room. Davian's head spun as he identified the space where the altar had once been. It was a contained tornado of gray time smoke, furious and thundering against invisible walls, dizzying to the eye. Flashes of figures and faces raced through its wisps, a confusion of terrified expressions that were just real and solid enough for Davian to be sure that he wasn't imagining them. Worse, though, was the sound, a melange of shrieks and screams and moans and whispers and cries, each one cut off in a moment and also echoing far too long, lingering on the ear unsettlingly, the mind trying to trace the sound against all the others but always failing. It was immediately painful, an assault on the senses that none of them, not even Caden, from the look on his face, had been prepared for. They all stood motionless, horrified. Then Caden broke the spell. He turned back to them, gesturing to a figure on the far side of the room. He'd found Cassandrid. Davian nodded along with the others, every muscle taut as he activated the vessel in his arm that allowed him to step outside of time. Nothing happened. He paled, flicking the initiation endpoint again, but to no avail. He glanced across at Caden, who was looking frustrated too. The other man shook his head silently. They were too close to the open rift. Caden squared his shoulders and drew Lycanius, the blade bending the lines of essence toward itself. He strode forward. The frenzied work of the Cassandra proxies halted as one. To his side, light flared. Davian turned to see Asha blazing with essence, the energy wrapping swiftly around her in a thick protective layer. Wisps of power pulled away from her, sucked toward the void in the center of the room, but the armor still looked effective. He blinked, startled at the sight before realizing what Asha already must have, that this place was shielded from the draining effect in place everywhere else in Dilanus. Before he could move, she was streaking forward, a blade of essence springing to life in her hands as she met the first of Cassandra's proxies in a spectacular shower of light.
"Here we go," muttered Davian, heart constricting in his chest.
He activated the vessel in his arm that tapped his reserve for strength, drew his own blade, and charged after Caden. Essence flashed and roared everywhere around him as he dashed between the columns, the Cassandrids, nine of them here, he thought, leaping to intercept. Bolts sizzled against his con shield as he sprinted to catch up to Caden, only vaguely aware of the others as they met their opposition with blades and white energy. He could tell from the violent, searing flashes that Asha was likely doing the bulk of the work, but he didn't dare look around to see. He focused ahead on the man for whom Caden was heading. Cassandrid was a hulking figure, muscular and tall, jet-black hair hanging loose around his shoulders. A fierce light burned in his gaze as he spun in response to the sounds of fighting, though he was clearly unarmed. He faltered when he saw Caden walking toward him. "Tal." Cassandrid studied Caden, and though his voice was calm, barely audible over the din, the shock in his eyes was unmistakable. He started backing away, circling around toward the shrieking gray insanity in the center of the room.
"Gas," Caden continued to stride forward. "Nowhere to run."
"You're dead," said Cassandrid.
"True." Caden didn't stop moving, stalking toward the other man. Behind them, the furious flashes of essence had stopped, the battle evidently already over. Davian risked a quick glance over his shoulder, relieved to see the other three still standing.
"It's not too late, Tal. Look!"
Cassandrid had backpedaled until he found himself with his back to the rift. He gestured urgently behind him at the whirling mass of horror.
"He showed me how to fix it, to correct their mistakes. I opened the doorway."
He finally stopped retreating, instead staring defiantly at Caden.
"You can go back now. All you need to do is wait, and you can go back and save her. Save Eleavia. Save everyone."
Caden finally slowed, then stopped a few feet from Cassandrid, as if the man's words were a physical obstacle. Davian glanced across at his friend, suddenly uneasy. Caden stayed motionless, saying nothing as his gaze flicked between Cassandrid and the open rift, betraying nothing of whatever was going on in his head.
"No," he said eventually.
He stepped forward and batted away the other man's attempt to ward him off, plunging Lycanius deep into Cassandrid's stomach. The unarmed man gasped as the blade bit into his flesh, his eyes going wide, red-coated steel protruding from the other side of his body. Then he straightened. Caden frowned as he tried to pull Lycanius out again, but Cassandrid had gripped Caden's hands with his own, holding them firm. The whispers and shrieks from the rift suddenly intensified. From out of the gray behind Cassandrid, Davian could see dark shapes taking form, hands reaching out, reaching into Cassandrid's body, steadying him and giving him strength when he should have had none. Cassandrid painstakingly raised his head again and bared his teeth at Caden, eyes burning, their faces inches apart.
"There only needs to be one of us for him to succeed," he said between gritted teeth. "And I know you, Tal Kamar. I know that you have not left me until last."
He took a step back, toward the tornado, somehow forcing a straining Caden to take a reluctant step forward with him.
"Dav!"
Caden roared his name desperately.
"Asha!"
They rushed forward, Davian strengthening his body with essence and gripping Cassandrid's arm. From behind him, a blinding coil of essence snapped out, trying to encircle the massive man, but it evaporated as soon as it touched him. Davian pulled with all his strength, but more black shining hands appeared, claws sinking deep into Cassandrid's shoulders, blood seeping where they touched. Weir and Tayrus joined him, muscles straining, but it didn't feel as if it even made a difference. Cassandrid took another step back, the motion inexorable. Another. He half laughed, half snarled as Davian drew his blade and slashed at the limbs protruding from the rift. Ethereal shrieks resonated around the room as some of the hands withdrew. Cassandrid took another step back, half of his body in the gray smoke now. Blood poured from the gaping wounds in his side and back, dozens of clawed hands embedded in him. His crazed smile was a rictus of triumph. He twisted. Somehow, impossibly, leaned back and raised his foot. Kicked Caden in the stomach. Caden's grip slipped, and Cassandrid used the opening to punch him squarely in the face. There was an audible crack as Caden stumbled back. Davian dove, snatching desperately at Lycanius's hilt with his right hand, his strength vessel flooding every bit of essence it could to his arm and legs as he caught it and braced. Cassandrid's expression, half obscured by the gray smoke, now faltered. Then he snarled, took another step back, dragging Davian forward as the glistening black claws hauled the venerate deeper. Davian heard panicked shouts from behind him. He thought he could hear Asha begging him to let go, but the gray smoke was in his eyes and ears now, shrieking and wailing and whispering and filling his senses. Still he gripped the hilt of Lycanius with everything he could, his essence draining away, sucked in hungrily by the beckoning gray river. It was just him now. The others couldn't haul him back, couldn't afford to touch the rift in the way he could. They would die. He wouldn't. He couldn't let go. If they lost Lycanius, they lost. He roared against the raging smoke. He was still on the horizon of the rift, could still feel his body. Agony snarled up his arms as some of the black claws reached him, elongated fingers digging deep into his flesh, melting through skin and scraping delicately along bone. Somewhere in the gray smoke, Lycanius came free. Davian swiveled, using the last of his strength to twist and fling the blade back, part of his mind registering relief as he heard the metal ring against stone. He went slack. He had done everything he could. He closed his eyes and surrendered to the gray mists. A hand gripped his. For a moment he didn't register that it was different from the claws raking at him, didn't understand what was happening in the midst of the maelstrom. He opened his eyes again, confused. There was an instant of balance. He felt suspended, an equal force tugging him in either direction.
"Dav!"
It was Ash's voice, fear and pleading and desperation in it.
"Pull!"
He pulled. Claws ripped his skin, but somehow he still had skin. And then he was falling hard into the stone ground, four other forms around him tumbling back as he finally, abruptly came free. He groaned as blood gushed freely from his arms and neck, only dimly aware of Asha crawling across to him and putting a hand on his chest, flooding him with essence. Life burst back inside of him, his reserve leaching from the torrential flow to fill again even as his wounds closed and the pain, miraculously, began to recede.
"What?"
Davian's voice was little more than a rasp.
"How?"
He looked up at Asha, who was staring down at him with a strange mix of relief and sorrow. Her gaze slid to the side and Davian twisted, following it to the figure on the ground a few feet away.
"Fates! Terrace!"
He scrambled despite Ash's attempt to stop him, crawling across to the scarred man and preparing to use essence himself, though he was in no state to do so. Only Terrace's ashen, withered features and empty eyes stopped him. A hand rested gently on his shoulder. He looked up to see Weir crouching beside him.
"He was the one holding you. He wouldn't let go," he said,
emotion thick in his voice. Davian gazed at the motionless form, then let his shoulders slump. He seated himself next to Tavris's head and gently drew his eyes shut.
"Why?"
he whispered. Tavris had known he had to go back. He could have let it happen and lived. The howls of the rift were his only answer. Over near one of the far columns, Caden had staggered dazedly to his feet. Blood was smeared across his mouth from where his nose had been broken, though it had already healed. He slowly walked over to where Lycanius lay on the ground, picked it up and sheathed it, every motion heavy. Davian took a deep, shaky breath, forcing down his grief at Tayrus's death as the four of them huddled together, close enough that they wouldn't have to shout over the cacophony.
"What now?"
"Now, you three need to get outside of the city as quickly as you can and raise that Ilshara. The Banes in here will come for you, but you need to keep it up for as long as you can hold out. Shemaloth won't be far away."
Caden's look included all of them, but settled on Asha, who dipped her head in assent, though she looked understandably tense at the prospect. He took a deep breath.
"And I am going to finish this," he concluded softly.
Chapter 51 Asha burst through the thick mists with an essence-enhanced leap, a tekril claw swiping perilously close to her head as she brought her steel blade down hard against the face of the Dargaethan in front of her. The creature hissed, the blow hard enough to snap its head back, though the metal scraped across its scales without doing any real damage. The strike had done enough, though. Davian was suddenly there, his weapon spearing the creature through its gaping mouth. Even as it slumped to the ground, he was blinking away again, moving on to the next. Before Asha could focus on her next target, she found herself abruptly diving to the left, not of her own accord. A moment later, a massive Tekril stinger arrowed down, spearing the stone where she had been standing with a resounding crack. The scorpion-like creature screeched as she regained her footing and leaped high in response, slicing hard at the exposed area of its neck. Black blood hissed as the creature went stiff, then toppled with a crash of armor to the ground. Asha exhaled as she saw Davian dispatching the last of the 24 or so Banes that had been guarding this side of the Andaran Bridge. She glanced over her shoulder, back at Weir, giving him a grateful nod. Of the three of them, Weir was least equipped to deal with these creatures, but he had saved her from serious injury more than once since they'd left the Javet. She put her hands on her knees, catching her breath. They'd managed to avoid most of the Banes in their dash to get out of the city, Davian's ability to create a time bubble invaluable in their doing so. He was still comparatively weak from his encounter with Cassandrid, though, and the vessel in his body only altered his own passage through time. This group guarding the bridge had been too large and too alert for him to simply sneak past them. It was done now, though. The way back to Andara was open.
"Everyone all right?" Davian appeared in front of them, breathing hard. The strain of what he'd been doing was beginning to show.
"Alive," said Weir.
"Alive," agreed Asha.
Without anything further, they made their way up the stairs and onto the smooth white stone of the Andaran Bridge. They proceeded at a cautious jog, Caden's dire warnings about how little time they had pressing constantly on Asha's mind. She kept a sharp eye on the thick, swirling mists ahead, though part of her continued to run through the instructions the former venerate had given her. Creating an Ilshara shouldn't be overly difficult. At its core, it was simply an essence shield, completely encapsulating an area. Only this was her first attempt. The area was an entire city that would drain any essence that veered too close to it, and getting anything wrong would result in the end of the world. The bridge, somewhat miraculously given the press of Banes they had had to navigate inside the city, was empty as they hurried through the fog, though Asha's every muscle remained tense. She couldn't help but recall the last time she'd been here. Then, abruptly, they were breaking through the edge of the mists. Asha stuttered to a horrified halt, joined swiftly by the other two. It had to be late morning, perhaps marginally after noon now, with the sun almost directly overhead. Its clean warmth pressed against Ash's skin, a welcome feeling after the clammy, grasping tendrils of fog. And yet, as she gazed northward, the sharp blue of the sky just vanished. Part of her wanted to dismiss what she was seeing as a thick, fast-approaching storm, simply an unusual weather pattern of black cloud covering the sky. The longer she stared, though, the more impossible the sight became. There were no clouds at all, no gray, no suggestion of height or depth or end. It was just shadow, roiling and churning, twisting the eye and blotting out everything beyond. A wall of darkness that stretched to the heavens, raging, sending a crawling unease through her like nothing she had ever felt before. And as she watched, she could tell that it was creeping closer.
"Fates," whispered Davian.
"That's not our only problem. We need to move. Now!"
Weir's voice cut through Asha and Davian's daze. Asha's gaze fixed ahead. The bridge wasn't completely empty. A half-dozen Dargathans stood between them and its end, tails lashing wildly in anticipation as they spotted the three humans. Beyond, perhaps 1,000 feet further back, the hillside leading down to the bridge crawled with charging Banes. Beside her, Davian gritted his teeth and started running. Asha dashed after him, hurtling along the length of the bridge with blindingly quick bounds. A few seconds before they reached the first of the creatures, Davian vanished, only to reappear in front of the farthest one, his blade embedded in its right eye. Asha leaped to engage the closest two, keeping them occupied as three more snakes abruptly launched over the edge of the bridge with steadily fading shrieks as they fell. Davian's essence-enhanced kicks made even more powerful due to his time bubble. Asha evaded the final two Bane's attacks smoothly, darting back again. She could probably have dealt with them herself if need be, but here in Dailanus, where essence decayed the moment it touched the air, Davian's abilities were far more effective.
She focused on the hills past the bridge as Davian appeared and reappeared again, both times drawing his black-smeared blade from a Dargathan mouth. The final two creatures slumped to the cold stone in unison as Asha took in the horde of Banes flooding toward them. At least 50 within a few hundred feet now, and hundreds more a little way behind them, with even more appearing along the rise every second. Weir caught up to them and they dashed to the end of the bridge, Asha exhaling as they finally stepped onto Undaran soil. She put a hand on Davian's shoulder as he tensed, as if ready to try and take on the entire oncoming army by himself. He turned to her, and she shook her head.
"You've had your fun," she said with a tight smile. "My turn."
She steeled herself, tapped her reserve. The ground began to tremble. She heard Davian and Weir both gasp as some of the creatures spilling down toward them began to stumble, the line of oncoming nightmares shivering uncertainly as the hill beneath their feet suddenly began to break apart. A massive split tore along the ground between the three humans and the Banes, immediately filled with a steadily rising golden wall of essence. Rock rent with a screeching sound and turned red where essence cut through it, melting away to slag. The earth shuddered again as raw power sliced downward, anchoring itself. A moment later, a wall 20 feet thick began rising into the air, rippling and pulsing with blinding yellow light. All along the Andaran side of Lantarsh, the wall crept upward, stretching out until it was lost from view, slowly but surely encircling the entire city. That menacing, all-encompassing darkness was closer than ever now, blotting out the blue sky as far as she could see to the north, the boiling shadows chasing on the heels of the Banes. Asha trembled as she focused and poured everything she had into the shield, using Dylanus as a guide for the wall, letting essence creep ever closer to it, and then adjusting away again when she sensed the drain of the city beginning to affect the Ilshara.
"Fates," whispered Davian next to her as he stared upward at the shining barrier, pure awe in his voice.
The golden wall crept higher still as Asha closed her eyes, letting more and more essence flow through her. Dimly she could sense the Banes beginning to throw themselves at the barrier. They made little headway, but each effort, particularly given their essence-absorbing armor, stole a tiny amount of her energy, even if she barely noticed it. A tiny cut, but too many would bleed her dry as effectively as a slit throat.
"Tav," she said his name softly, distractedly. "I need you to protect the Ilshara however you can with Khan. The Banes will absorb too much if it stays unprotected."
Davian nodded. A tiny hole, almost imperceptible, opened up in the shield, and Asha immediately felt the tiny pressures against the barrier begin to ease. A few seconds later, and the hole was filling in again, the Khan that had been threaded through vanishing.
"I can patch harden Khan here and there, especially around the ground, where I can anchor it properly," Davian said grimly. "But it's unstable at best. It won't last."
"It will have to do."
Asha's words were clipped as she tried to concentrate. All of Caden's advice, all of her training in the Dokken, hadn't come close to preparing her for manipulating and maintaining something so unthinkably immense. She strained, willing yet more essence into the flow as she saw the raging wall of shadow rushing over the hill, swallowing up her vision of the Banes that still rushed to join the attack. It was almost here. With a last burst of effort, the golden dome sealed high above Dylanus. Moments later, the darkness hit the barrier with a primal howl of fury. Asha was braced for the impact to drain the Ilshara, but instead, to her vague, relieved surprise, nothing happened. The wall of writhing shadow was right there, completely covering the dome now, but it seemed to be hovering inches above the glowing essence. It sucked in the light outside the dome, but either would or could not attack the barrier itself. The sound, however, was another matter. As the darkness wrapped itself around the city's protection in a smothering cloud, howls and shrieks began to pierce the air, a chorus of haunted, agonized voices that filled every open space like a physical presence, separate and yet melding into one horrendous cacophony. The noise assaulted Ash's concentration, started to worm inside her head.
"Weir," she said through gritted teeth, her voice cracking. "Tell me to focus."
Weir, who along with Davian was looking at the threatening shadow in open horror, didn't hesitate. He placed his hand on his chest where Asha knew the Oathstone was hanging.
"Asha,
Stay focused. Stay strong. Ignore that sound and do everything you can to keep that barrier in place, he said urgently, loud enough for her to hear, even if she didn't strictly need to. Immediately, the pressure on her mind seemed to ease, and she steadied, quickly adjusting a section of the barrier that had been trembling. She breathed out. She could do this. The three of them stood there, Asha keeping her breathing steady, straining to hold the massive sphere still and tight around the edges of the city. Even with Weir's instructions echoing around in her head, it was a struggle. She could feel the darkness probing, oozing over the barrier, searching for any cracks. The noise railed at her, and a dim part of her was aware that it would quickly become unbearable if she paid it any attention. "What now?" shouted Weir, his eyes glued to the frenzied attacks of the creatures only 100 feet away, barely visible against the raging darkness that hovered over all. Her Ilshara was all that provided light within the dome now, casting everything in a soft yellow. Davian answered by pointing back toward Dylanus. Asha's stomach wrenched as she saw the banes boiling out of the gold-tinged mists and hurtling towards them. Caden had been right. The immense energy required by the Ilshara had drawn them like flies. Davian turned back to her, putting his hand on her shoulder and looking deep into her eyes. He didn't say anything, but understanding passed between them. She forced a smile at him, and he nodded. He turned to Weir, tossing the black travel stone on the ground next to Asha. "Now we hold," he shouted, determination in his voice. He and Weir walked calmly away and took up positions on the bridge, waiting for the flood of creatures to reach them. The variegated veins of Mor Aruel rippled with color and light as Caden walked the lonely tunnels, Lycanius gripped tightly. He'd stepped outside of time the moment he had arrived, a process made all the easier with Lycanius in hand, but he still moved as quickly as he dared. He couldn't afford to be too casual, to let down his guard and miss an ambush from Alaris. But with Shemaloth bearing down, with Davian and Asha and Weir undoubtedly having to hold off a horde of Banes, every second he spent here could potentially be one too long too. His path took him toward Asar's old rooms. That was where he had found Alaris last time, and though the other man had all but destroyed the place, it remained one of the only vaguely livable areas in the Wells. Varying hues seeped from the jagged lines around him, Lycanius sucking at the energy and light, bending it wherever he passed. The door to Asar's rooms, which had been broken last time, was now mended and slightly ajar. Caden tensed as he spotted the gradually pulsing light of essence coming from within. He nudged the door open with his foot, blade at the ready. Alaris was sitting at the far end of the room, reclining with his eyes closed. He'd tidied, cleaned, even repaired the chair in which he now sat. Caden frowned. Alaris would have known that he was here from the instant the gate had opened. He'd expected fierce opposition, not this. He scanned the room suspiciously, both for con traps and, though he knew it was impossible, anyone else lying in wait. But there was nothing and no one. "Alaris," he said, stepping inside, allowing his time bubble to drop. He stayed tense, though, prepared to raise it again in an instant if necessary. Alaris exhaled, not opening his eyes.
"I am tired of fighting, Tal," he said, his tone heavy with the sound of defeat. "You have nothing to fear from me."
Caden remained alert despite the words, despite sensing that Alaris was telling the truth. He didn't lower Lycanius either. Alaris finally opened his eyes, taking in the sword.
"So, you are winning," he said bleakly. "You're here to kill me?"
Caden hesitated, then shook his head.
"Not necessarily, my friend."
Keeping Lycanius in his right hand, and a disruption shield spinning furiously, he reached into his pocket, locating the amulet Aaron had given him. He held it up for Alaris to see. Alaris's eyes widened as he took it in. He knew exactly what it was. All the venerate did. There were several seconds of silence.
"No," said Alaris quietly.
Caden felt his heart sink.
"Why not?"
he whispered.
"Because I will not make it that easy for you,"
Anger finally flashed across Alaris's features, though it was gone in an instant.
And because I am tired of living in a world where I can never be in control of my own actions.
Caden scowled, despite doing his best to push down his own frustration and ire.
So you're choosing to die, he said bitterly. I am fated to die, just like your friend, just like Debian.
Alaris studied Caden darkly.
He is the perfect example of why I fought, you know. You keep saying that our future decisions are our own, regardless of whether they are immutable. And yet his life is going to end thanks to your petulance, and you're not even trying to save it. There is nothing he can do to save it either. Is that what he wants? Would he have chosen that path unless he believed that there was no other way?
No, concluded Alaris in disgust, answering his own question.
Not unless he had already accepted it to be inevitable, the planned outcome of this unseen, indifferent god whom you are both so quick to serve.
Caden swallowed, the observation hitting closer to home than he would have liked.
Davian has chosen. Time and time again, even knowing what is coming, he said. Sometimes the choice is doing something that we believe is important, despite...
He unconsciously gripped Lycanius a little tighter. Alaris eyed the blade.
You were so certain of your ill, he said softly.
No, admitted Caden, but I do know that the creature you call ill is intimidating, persuasive, smarter than all of us put together.
Caden gazed at his friend, willing him to listen, though they had had variations of this conversation too many times to believe that he would.
And I am certain that he is no god.
He walked forward.
Let me show you,
he added, pressing two fingers against Alaris's head. His friend flinched back in surprise, but it was too late. The memories were draining into him. Caden watched as Shemaloth slithered along Tog's peak, the creature's illusions failing as it made a desperate last attempt to stop him from leaving Talon Gol. He watched as Ash's essence burned bright in the space beneath Ilshan Gath Delteth, revealing the true filth and ugliness of the creature they had both followed for so long, paring back even the concealing darkness and showing Shemaloth for the sickness he truly was. It was done in a moment. Caden stepped back, feeling almost as emotionally drained as he had when he'd actually experienced those events. Alaris's face was white, and he was silent, breathing heavily. Then the other man's brow creased. He shook his head, slowly at first, but with increasing anger.
I didn't think that you would stoop to these levels, Talcamar.
His voice was low and cold, furious. Caden looked at him blankly.
What? Fabricating something like this.
Alaris shook his head again, this time in disbelief.
To go to such lengths, it is disgusting, Tal. Even with everything else that has happened, I expected better from you.
Caden blinked, a sickening shock running through him.
I'll take it, Alaris, he said, desperation seeping into his tone. This isn't a trick. This is exactly what happened. You know it's a memory.
Alaris glared.
So you see darkness where everyone else sees light? That speaks to your issues more than mine. I already know your perspective, Tal. You need proof.
Caden gave a disbelieving laugh despite himself.
Proof? Proof?
He raked a hand through his hair as he finally understood. Even Alaris, even his amazing, intelligent, thoughtful friend, couldn't see it, wouldn't see it.
So you will not accept my offer?
Caden already knew the answer, but he had to ask, one last time.
No, whispered Alaris.
He stood in front of Caden, arms outstretched, looking at him determinedly.
So choose, Talcamar, if you truly think that is what you are doing. Your friend or your belief?
Caden felt a tear roll down his cheek.
He stepped forward and plunged Lycanius into Alaris's chest. The sword slipped between the ribs smoothly. Alaris gasped as it went in, eyes wide, as if he hadn't really thought that Caden would do it. Caden clasped Alaris close, hugging him, forehead against his friend's. Alaris didn't struggle, didn't try to fight as Cassandrid had. Alaris's breathing gradually slowed, then stilled. He slumped to the ground. Caden went with him, cradling Alaris's head in his lap. He wept. He wept for his friend. He wept at the unfairness of it all. Alaris had been right in so many ways. It was wrong that he'd been forced to do this, wrong that events were unfolding as they were. This, all of this, felt like a nightmare from which he desperately wanted to wake. Eventually he closed Alaris's eyes. Mor Aruel would be his tomb. In better circumstances, Caden would have buried him, but there was no time. Even if Asha was somehow holding her Ilshara around the entire city, every bane that had been in Dylanus would be coming straight for her. He stood, gently laying Alaris's head on the ground. Then he activated the white travel stone and stepped through into the screaming maelstrom that was Dylanus. Chapter 52. Weir grunted as a Tekril limb smashed into his shoulder, sending him spinning back away from where the smooth white Andaran bridge met the ground. He struggled to his feet, stumbling over to regain his blade before turning to face the creature again. It was badly injured, several of its limbs incapacitated, but it still tried to drag itself onward to Asha's position. Weir hurried over, evading the powerful sweeping swipe this time and ending the Tekril's life with a swift thrust to its scorpion-like face. He staggered, fresh pain wrenching at his shoulder from the creature's blow, joining the ache of the countless other injuries he had sustained over the past 10 minutes. He took a moment to recover, even as he watched for any other banes that threatened to make it past the whirlwind of death that was Davian. They had fallen into a rhythm of sorts since the first wave of creatures had boiled out the mists. Davian held the bridge with his abilities, and Weir stayed back near Asha, warning Davian, via his own ability, of any creatures that looked like they were slipping past, and providing a last-ditch defense against any of the not-completely-dead ones that Davian didn't have time to finish off. It was working, even if it wouldn't for much longer. Bodies highlighted by the golden essence of the Ilshara continued to topple off the bridge as more banes pushed their way through and over the dead, some of the falling figures flailing as still-living creatures were shoved off in the frenzy to reach the source of the massive essence shield. Davian himself blinked constantly from one spot on the bridge to another, steel flashing wherever he appeared, dispatching monster after monster after monster. But even with the vessels built into his body, Weir knew that he had to be getting tired. "Stop the Tekril going underneath," he said suddenly, stiffening as he saw another of the creatures trying to sneak past. Their spider-like legs allowed them to latch onto the sides and crawl upside down almost entirely underneath the bridge, leaving only a few of their feet showing on either side up above. Not invisible to Davian, but much easier for him to miss amid the chaos. The Oathstone went warm against his chest, and then the creature was falling. The legs it had been using to grip the left side of the bridge separated from its body. Weir hadn't even seen Davian's strike that time. He scanned the next pack of rabid creatures, every nerve taut, blood rushing in his ears as he willed each bane that charged from the mists to be the last. From the mania of their attacks, all mindless fury as they threw themselves into the churning maelstrom of death, it was clear that they were being driven. Weir risked an uneasy glance to the side, the scene still too surreal to properly comprehend. It wasn't hard to guess what was doing the driving. The world outside Asha's golden Ilshara had been swallowed by raging darkness, a swirling vortex that howled and slithered and smashed itself again and again and again against the dome surrounding Dylanus. The shield flashed with a constant alarming intensity everywhere Weir could see along the ground as more slavering banes threw themselves at it, pushed themselves up against it, hammered at it. As Weir looked, he could see bodies smeared up against its edge where the creatures behind had pressed so hard that they had killed those in front.
Weir couldn't begin to imagine how much raw essence Asha was using to maintain the barrier under that sort of pressure.
"Keep it up, Ash,"
he murmured under his breath, again feeling the heat of the Oathstone against his skin. "Focus on keeping that Ilshara whole and don't worry about the rest. Be sure that Davian and I will do our jobs." He glanced around at the young woman, hoping that he was helping his friend. Asha, for her part, had barely moved since the Ilshara had sprung to life. Beads of sweat glinted gold on her forehead in the ethereal light, but she showed no other signs of strain. Veins had almost reached her twice now. We are striking the last one down only a heartbeat before it had attacked. She'd seemed not to notice, either too focused or simply unable to react. It wouldn't surprise him if it was the latter. He turned his attention back to the battle on the bridge, doing his best not to be distracted by the massive wall of essence that stretched above and over them, slicing through the ground only 100 feet away. "Stop the Tekril jumping on your right," he said quickly, spotting the creature making a scuttling, blindingly fast run at the edge. Davian was holding his position, but it was temptingly close to the Andaran side of the bridge for the Tekril, who were infinitely more agile than the Dargaethan. The Tekril leaped, and Weir's heart went to his throat as it soared through the air, describing an arc that would see it land safely. At the peak of its jump, a Dargaethan's flailing body hurtled from Davian's position and slammed into it, knocking it violently sideways and sending them both down into the roaring white waters of Lantarsh far below.
"Fates," murmured Weir appreciatively.
Davian appeared for a brief second on the bridge and yelled something indistinguishable to him. Weir spotted the two more Tekril that had slung themselves under the bridge and were now scuttling toward him and Asha at an alarming speed. He stepped forward in response, blood pounding in his ears.
"Stay on the bridge, Dav," he said softly, bringing his blade up.
If Davian gave any more ground, he would lose their only advantage to the position. Weir was going to have to deal with these ones himself. He tried to force down the fear that was suddenly gnawing at his chest. He had so little essence to spare, and these creatures, they were enormous. He heard Davian give a shout of frustration, but there was no time to pay him any attention. He charged the massive scorpion-like banes, every nerve taut as he watched for the first attack. The Tekril scuttled with astonishing speed at him, massive black stingers poised above their backs, dripping black liquid that glistened in the essence light. The first one struck and Weir dove to the side as the thick needle speared the ground where he had been standing, then rolled as the second Tekril's attack followed immediately after, barely missing his head. Weir maintained the momentum of his roll and lashed out with his blade, aiming for one of the small unarmored weak points that each of the creatures had around its knees. He missed, his steel bouncing off hard shell and sending a shock down his arm instead. He scrambled back to his feet in dismay, backing away slightly. He was a perfectly capable swordsman, but this was beyond him. A massive blast of essence swept the creatures to the edge of the chasm and then into it, their limbs flailing as they tumbled down and into the icy waters of Lantarsh. Weir stood frozen in shock, then turned, half expecting to see that Asha had noticed his predicament and had somehow diverted precious essence to help. Instead, he saw Caden already striding toward the bridge, Lycanius bending the light, portal winking out behind him. Hope suddenly surged within him, and he stumbled to his feet again, quickly assessing the fight on the bridge. Davian was still standing, still blinking between banes, a flood of the creatures dying and falling and screaming. But though Weir had been distracted for only seconds, he could see fresh cuts on Davian's face, could tell that his movements were heavier. He'd been weak after his encounter with Cassandrid. His reserve was probably running out by now. Then Caden was there. Lycanius blurred in his hands and a wave of the creatures broke, scattering off the sides of the bridge. Caden's expression was calm as he took up a position by Davian, but there was something in the way he moved now, a barely concealed anger that Weir had never seen in him before, a simmering fury that he was looking for somewhere to direct. And as the Banes started their attack again, it quickly became apparent where he intended that outlet to be. Where Davian had been a whirlwind of last-moment defense, Caden was aggressive. As Weir gaped, he actually took a step forward farther onto the bridge, then another. Davian moved up beside him, though Weir's friend was clearly drained by this point. The howling from above increased as if in fury at Caden's success, but that only seemed to spur the former venerate onward. Lycanius sliced through the Bane's armor as if it didn't exist, and Caden often bodily grabbed creatures and tossed them off the side, sending them flying away a shocking distance before they finally began to fall. The tempest of violence continued for what seemed like hours, though Weir knew it had to be only minutes. Banes broke from the boiling mists and streamed across the expanse of white stone, only to be met with steel and fury time and time again. Weir did his best to direct Davian, this time aiming to shift him to best support Caden, though Weir wasn't sure it was even necessary. The stream slowed, almost imperceptibly at first. Banes still rushed from the white of Dylanus, but they were no longer shoulder to shoulder, no longer jostling for position and threatening to knock one another off the edge. Then the creatures appearing thinned more. Three abreast, two. A few individuals sprinting from the mists. And then, finally, miraculously, nothing but the empty howling of the darkness above and the glistening gold of the Ilshara that held it back. Weir breathed heavily, eyes wide, barely able to fathom what he was seeing. The white of the bridge was almost entirely gone, covered in black ooze and bodies. Caden and Davian stood alone in its center, facing the mists, chests rising and falling, and every inch of their bodies tensed, as if they too couldn't believe that there were no more to come. Then they turned, started picking their way back to the Andaran edge. Weir watched them for a moment longer, and then jogged to meet them, casting a cautious glance across at Asha, and then at the raging hordes still throwing themselves at her Ilshara from the outside. The Banes in here had been defeated, but that would be moot if they had to face the thousands more waiting to rip them apart out there. Still, his shoulders loosened just a little, and a thrill of excitement ran through him as he headed toward his friends, the beginnings of a smile on his face as he considered what they'd just achieved. Then he saw Davian and Caden's faces illuminated by the stark gold of the barrier, and his heart twisted, the joy of their victory short-lived. Of course. He slowed to a halt, waiting for the two men as they walked purposefully, grimly toward him. Neither of them spoke. They joined him at the edge of the bridge, neither one stepping off onto Andaran soil. "Not bad, Weir," said Davian over the muted shrieking of the darkness, mustering a forced, exhausted grin at his friend. "You saved my life, what, three times?" "At least five," replied Weir immediately, though his smile was half-hearted. He glanced back at Asha, whose face glistened with sweat now, plainly straining to keep the Ilshara whole. Caden saw his look and nodded. "We cannot delay. What she has done..." He shook his head, admiration in the motion. "I didn't think it was possible to control so much for so long. But she won't be able to sustain that level of focus, not even with the power at her disposal. No one could. If we don't close down that rift before Shemaloth gets through, this is all pointless." Davian glanced across at him. "Is Alaris?" "Yes." Caden stared at the ground, emotion thick in his voice. "It's just us now." Davian said nothing for a long moment, and then abruptly stepped forward, wrapped Weir in a tight embrace. "It's been my honor to be your friend," he said softly, barely audible above the howls. "I know that whatever happens next, the best person for the job is in charge. I couldn't ask for more than that." Weir blinked away the beginnings of tears, a lump in his throat. He wanted to tell Davian to stay, that there was a way out of this.
"Fates, I'll miss you," he whispered fiercely instead. "I hope you know you'll never be forgotten."
He pulled away, wiping his face in mild embarrassment. Davian gave him a sad, tight smile, his gaze drifting past Weir to fix on Asha. She couldn't see him, Weir knew.
"Tell her I love her, Weir," he said simply. "Make sure she's happy."
He turned away quickly, facing Dylanus, took a step back onto the bridge. Caden, who had been watching, closed his eyes.
"Wait."
"What?"
Davian looked across at him, then up at the golden light.
"Caden, we don't have time for anything else."
"Alaris was right,"
There was anger and frustration in Caden's voice. If we don't have a choice, then what's the point? We've both made our choices.
I have, but you never did. Not really.
He drew something from his pocket, a small amulet. You already explained what that is, said Debian immediately. I'll die if I use it. Caden reached up and took off his torque, then walked over to Debian and, before he could protest, fastened it around his neck.
And now?
Debian's eyes had gone wide as he adjusted to the sudden influx of essence. After a moment, he shook his head dazedly.
It doesn't matter. We both know what happens. We already know how this ends.
He frowned at Caden as realization hit.
You need to use it, Tal, if Asha is willing. You can survive.
He reached up to take the torque off again. Caden vanished, blinking into existence behind Debian. He pressed the amulet to the base of Debian's skull and began feeding essence into it. Davian's eyes went wide and he gasped, dropping to his knees. Outside the Ilshara, the darkness seemed to react, its screeches increasing in volume and intensity, clouds of black beating at the golden light high above. Weir took a hesitant, confused step forward.
What are you doing?
He shouted above the shrieking.
Saving him,
Caden yelled back, face a mask of grim determination. Weir stuttered to a halt. Davian was clearly in pain, his expression twisting, mouth wide as he tried to catch his breath. Dark tendrils of smoke began to rise from him. He screamed. Weir stepped forward again, heart pounding as he tapped essence.
Stop it! It's necessary!
Caden glanced up at Weir, pleading in his expression now as they locked gazes. He saw Weir's temptation to intervene, but he didn't stop funneling essence into the amulet.
It will stop him from being an augur without killing him, Weir. You have to trust me.
Weir closed his eyes, Davian's pained screams digging at his soul. He slowly, carefully forced his fists to unclench, nodded.
I do,
he shouted to Caden. Caden glanced up again and Weir saw the depth of his gratitude in the look. Weir stood, unable to do anything but watch, stomach churning as the strands of oily smoke rising from Davian twisted together, gradually coalescing into a glistening black ball that flexed and pulsed wetly in the air. The last of the darkness drifted into it, sucked inside. It shimmered for a heartbeat. There was a cracking sound, thunderously loud even above the howling, and Davian slumped as the ball exploded into a puff of white mist that immediately faded into the atmosphere. Weir hurried over as Caden caught Davian and lowered him gently to the ground. Davian was still breathing, much to Weir's relief, though his face was pale and his eyes shut. Caden's hand came away from Davian's neck, and he brushed a fine grit from it. The amulet was gone, Weir realized. Disintegrated.
It's done! Shouted Caden.
He sounded stunned, as if he hadn't truly believed it would work.
Don't let him take off that torque, and don't let him come after me unless...
He grimaced, his expression turning to determination.
Don't let him come after me, he finished firmly.
He waited for Weir's dazed acknowledgement, then spun toward the gold-tinged bridge.
Caden!
Caden wavered, then turned back to Weir. Weir strode over to his friend and embraced him.
Ill with you,
he said, putting all of his sincerity and emotion into the words. Caden smiled, and Weir could see him swallowing a lump in his throat.
And with you, Weir.
He glanced back at Davian and Asha.
Look after them. I've been around a while, and people like them don't come along often. Ever, really,
he finished softly. He gave Weir a final nod and started across the bridge. A few moments later, Davian began to stir. Weir dropped to his knees beside his friend, who looked up at him dazedly.
Weir, what happened?
His voice was barely audible above the screaming all around them. His eyes suddenly widened, and he sat upright, hands going to the torque around his neck.
Fates!
He looked around wildly.
I can't feel it. I can't sense Khan. It's gone.
He made as if to take off the torque, but Weir quickly pushed his arms down again, shaking his head.
It's keeping you alive.
But... Davian scrambled to his feet, turning toward Dylanus. Caden was still visible, almost at the mists now.
Caden!
Davian yelled. Caden paused, somehow having heard the shout through the shrieking all around them, glanced back, grinned, and gave them a cheerful salute farewell. Then he turned and walked into the mists, vanishing from view. Davian and Weir were silent for several seconds, stunned, just watching the spot where he'd disappeared. Davian made to rise.
I need to go after him, he said in frustration. My fate's sealed, but he could actually survive this. Not anymore. That amulet's gone. He's made his choice.
Weir pushed him back down firmly.
I don't understand how it's possible, but he seems certain that your being alive won't keep the rift open now. So fates take me if you're not staying here.
Davian struggled, but finally subsided. His brow creased, confusion the foremost of a jumble of emotions flitting across his face. He glanced around, back at Asha and beyond, to the ravening hordes of Banes railing against the Ilshara.
So what do we do now? He asked faintly.
Weir hesitated, then sat, settling down beside his friend.
Now we wait, he said quietly.
Asha kept her breathing steady and the Ilshara whole. Every heartbeat was impossible. A struggle against the desire of essence to break free from the form she was forcing it to take, to escape into the ether and dissipate. A constant cycle of realizing that part of the barrier was weakening and flooding more essence to it, shifting energy around even as it constantly decayed, reinforcing sections as quickly as the Banes could throw themselves against them, time and time again. The howling darkness all around beat at her barrier furiously, physically ineffectual but mentally draining, its shrieks daring her to pay attention for a moment, just a moment. She kept her breathing steady, and the Ilshara whole. Caden had been right about doing this without any guiding vessels or Khan to help. She knew how to manipulate essence beyond her immediate vision. Most gifted could do that. But this was barely comparable to anything for which she had trained. Keeping the structure steady in her mind, not allowing it to shrink or expand, making sure that each section had just enough energy to maintain its form. The power needed was exponentially more than the tributary had ever taken to. Without a vessel to make her use of essence economical, this was draining her reserve. Not quickly, she still had time, but enough to be a problem. In her field of vision now, though she couldn't afford to focus on them, were Davian and Weir. Miraculously, still alive, keeping her company, watching over her. Caden had disappeared into Dylanus hours ago? Minutes? Time felt meaningless. But Davian was still here. She knew that much, recognized that much. She couldn't lose focus to think about what that meant, why he was here, why he was just waiting. Couldn't afford the sliver of hope that the realization brought. She kept her breathing steady in the Ilshara hole. Suddenly there was movement, and she saw Davian and Weir scrambling to their feet, bodies tensed. At first, she couldn't see what they had spotted. Then the ground trembled beneath her. Across the chasm, the gold-tinged mists of Dylanus shifted. The shrieking darkness overhead rose to a crescendo as, without warning, the top of one of the tallest buildings in the city suddenly vanished from view, disintegrating into the swirling fog. Asha felt the Ilshara tremble. She quickly refocused, breathing steadily. More buildings shuddered, disappeared. Weir and Davian were shouting excitedly now, pointing, though she couldn't give them enough attention to process what they were saying. The mists seemed to be retreating, creeping inward. More of the bridge across steadily revealed. After a few seconds, with a sort of absent shock, Asha realized that she could see the end. She could see the edge of Dylanus. And the entire city was collapsing. Buildings were crumbling to the ground, stones cracking and loosening and crashing together as they tumbled. The entire island was moving. Asha could see fissures beginning to form in the sheer stone cliff beneath the streets, small at first, but rapidly widening. Pieces of rubble began to slide into the chasm, splashing with a roar into Lantarsh far below. Then more. Then a whole section of Dylanus, impossibly, began to shudder and move ponderously to the side. Asha watched in detached disbelief as at least a third of the city emerged from the steadily shrinking mists, architecture collapsing in on itself as the grumbling of stone against stone turned to a deafening roar, matching and then exceeding the shrieks from above. There was a violent flash of gold as what Asha thought was the Serarium was briefly exposed, beams of energy stabbing upward. The mists writhed and contracted. A cracking sound broke through everything else, ear-splitting and abrupt. A wave of something washed over them, a blast of dark energy. The Ilshara shattered, vanished. The howling stopped just as abruptly, replaced only with the thundering of falling debris and the crashing of water from far below. Otherwise, all was dark, silent. Asha gasped, fumbling to grasp essence again, but she was mentally spent, her concentration finally broken, completely blinded after focusing so long on essence. Fear ripped at her chest and she scrambled as she imagined the banes that she had been holding back rushing at the three of them, ready to tear them apart. She stumbled, but a hand caught her, held her up. Ash! It was Davian. After a moment, Asha realized she could see his outline, her eyes slowly adjusting to the lack of essence light. Ash, are you all right?
The banes, rasped Asha,
gripping Davian's arm tightly as she warded off outright panic. She straightened, trying again to take hold of essence.
Ash, said Davian gently, relief and joy in his voice. Look. Just look.
Asha followed the silhouette of his arm, pointing to the